from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I got a joke for you, Bonte.
Fillmore's finest, Bonte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. The Giants lose 13-2. Brandon Ayuk is yet to sign with the 49ers. Tripp Williams is still in East Texas. The Niners had to cancel their joint practices. Maybe that's the most disappointing thing of the year. We could have saw Chris Olave going one-on-one against D'Amelio Lenore. Where does that rank on the disappointment list? 888-957-9570. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. The Niners back on the practice field today. Mooney Ward, how much do you miss Brandon Ayuk?
I think the season hasn't started. Yeah, so we don't know how much we miss him yet. I think the offense still clicking on all cylinders. You said give you my perspective on what's going on. I don't know, to be honest. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but they'll figure it out eventually, for sure. They'll figure it out.
That's a pretty good answer.
So, yeah, I don't think he's right. We don't know. We never played a game without him.
Exactly.
There's nothing to read into that. We don't know, but our offense is still clicking, and he's not going to say, yeah, the offense is really struggling without Brandon Ayuk.
You know, we get no separation.
Yeah.
It's making my job a lot easier
right.
in practice.
You're not going to say that, so other teams will be like, ooh, Tavares Ward, you hear what he said about his old offense?
I'm a little worried about this first-round pick we took. I don't think it's going to work out for us. Like, he's never going to say that.
Never going to say that.
Mooney Ward, big year for him. You know, he's been a really good 49er as a free agent signing. He kind of came out of nowhere. And it's interesting that, you know, I think if he has a monster year this year, he's going to be printing money. Who doesn't need a secondary player in the league? Everyone's looking for corners.
No, the fandom thing is fascinating me, Shasky.
What part?
Everything about it. Because I'm a fan. But I went to journalism school where you kind of get desensitized and you get become objective. Right, Spadoni, you kind of get into Lubman. You guys know what I'm talking about. So, because I never had this talk. Like, I see Yellow Jacket on YouTube, right? And I didn't even notice. Because Bonte, I wanted the Niners to trade Bosa mid-camp last year. Because he held out. I'm just thinking about myself, like, wow. What if they did trade Bosa? It would have been one of the most idiotic things this franchise has done since trading Charles Haley to the Dallas Cowboys. And they've done a lot of idiotic things since then.
We definitely talked about it at the station, though.
I remember
we
broached
it a couple times. We was like, "Hey, if you can get the Khalil Mack trade like package, well, would you think about it?"
I asked the question of, and "Let's do the thought exercise. How many first rounders could you net in a potential Nick Bosa deal?" It was a thought exercise. Right. No doubt. I phrased it that way.
And so, I remember saying to myself, "Boy, I would have a hard time trading Bosa right now because I need to get a player who can help me this year."
Yeah.
And it's the same situation with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
If you're going to trade Bosa, you trade him at the NFL draft so I get some players. But again, you don't think about trading Nick Bosa. Like, you sign Nick Bosa. You need Nick Bosa. He's one of the five best pass rushers in all of football. Even in a down year, he still gets doubled. Now, I want to see him play better against the run, and I don't like the fact that I'm hearing that he may drop back in coverage.
Yeah, that shocked
me. It's like, no, I want you putting a hand in the dirt and rushing a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I pay you for.
It's like me asking Aaron Judge to bunt.
Aaron Judge, I need you to drop back in the deep middle. I need you to play the hook. I need you to play this.
That's kind of why I went back to New York.
Brock Purdy, I really want you to do more power runs up the middle in between the tackles.
Quarterback powers. You know I need you to run a quarterback power.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, this is going to go to Trey Lance.
Do not.
Dude.
Do not.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
His film.
Yeah, he's done.
CFL needs to play. Listen, like Anna said, in wet and rainy Soldier Field, babe, is the quarterback supposed to get hit like this?
No.
Roquan Smith was blasting Trey Lance running quarterback powers. It's like, what are we doing? I've never seen a stretcher come out faster on the football field. I swear to God, I've been to a lot of football games in my life. Pro, JUCO, high school, Pop Warner. I've never seen a stretcher come out that quick.
But at that moment, 49er football came back.
So mean. God, it's so mean.
Juszczyk? No, it was Juszczyk it up. It felt like that was 49er football. I remember Mark Willard in the crossover goes, well, that was 49er football. And then he sipped his iced coffee like this. And then the next week, we had to pick eight. And he scored 10 points against Nathaniel Hackett's Broncos.
One of the worst teams ever in the history of football.
You could be a Niner fan, or you could be a Minnesota Viking fan. Minnesota yesterday, my buddy Linsmeyer, he comes over to me and he goes, hey, I don't ever want to hear you complain about the Niners. And he goes, but you will, and you're entitled to. But let me just give you the plight of the Viking fan. And I go, okay, shoot it at me. It's like, we lost our quarterback for the year. I don't even know if he's any good. We liked Kirk Cousins. We lost him, okay? We were actually starting to gain some steam last year, and he tears his Achilles after one of the great games he's ever had. He's like, we have a great wide receiver. We don't know what we have in defense. We sign Aaron Jones, and our second-round pick passes away in a car accident.
Fourth-round pick, Kyrie Jackson.
Oh, I thought it was second-round pick.
Yeah, I looked into it. Kyrie Jackson.
Okay, which I had forgotten, okay? Then he's like, Addison is out for probably 5 or 6 weeks, the wide receiver who everyone liked, and I think he had 1,000 yards last year or close to it.
Balled out last week, too, in preseason against the Raiders starting defense.
Being a Minnesota Viking fan is a tough plight.
So, my boy Brandon Velasquez, shout out to him. He's now living in Chicago by way of Arizona State. Got fortunate enough to work next to him at Yahoo Fantasy Sports. He did a great job producing that fantasy football show. So I was helping out with him on that show for a couple years. And he's one of the only Viking fans I know.
I know two.
I know him, and I know Shaka and Berkeley. Shaka and Berkeley's a Viking fan.
I didn't know that. My buddy Danny, who has taught me to be a butcher, he's a huge Viking fan.
So I'm just looking at his timeline right now. And it's NFL memes. Vikings fans since 1961. And it's stop giving us your toughest battles.
Oh.
And it's God saying, how are you still alive? There's another one that he retweeted. Can we simulate through the 2024 season and go right to the 2025 offseason?
Oh.
You know, sophomore.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
we get them week two?
Wow. They said sophomore star wideout carted off the field, being the second worst news of the day, is a perfect summary of what it is like to be a Vikings fan.
Addison kicked the Niners' butt, too. He's good.
That's tough.
I believe he transferred into USC.
Yeah, I think
was
so.
That what
from
it was?
Pitt. From Pitt.
Yeah, oh, I didn't know it was from Pitt. Okay.
Yep, from Pitt. So, you know, Jordan Addison carted off the field. I'm not sure what the severity of the injury is. But it's him, a Viking fan page, and it's a Viking fan in the middle of the street, just getting rained on in between cars, hoping the cars run them over. Like that, life is a Viking fan. It's probably similar to being a Buffalo Bills fan. It's probably similar to being a Cleveland Browns fan and a Detroit Lions fan.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Well, Lions fans last year at the NFC Championship game, I usually talk that talk at football games.
No, I feel happy for them.
But we were down so bad, and for them to lose that game that the Niners had no business winning, there's a row of Lions fans sitting behind me. And the tears that was about to flow from this grown-ass man, I said, dog, I hugged him. I shook his hand. I said, you guys will be back. You guys, we got nothing to be ashamed of.
You gave him the OG perk up?
Oh, I had to. I shook every Lions fan hand out of that stadium. Wow. Walking out of that stadium, I said, you guys are... Because they earned that game.
Yeah.
We didn't deserve to win that game.
Did you hear Amon-Ra St. Brown's dad talking in the stands during that game? I mean, you got to go for the field goal here.
Yeah.
You're not going to go for the field goal? Why are you throwing to him? Why are you throwing to him? Like, I was like, oh boy, Reynolds. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's dad might come into the field and take you out, dude.
Well, Reynolds did drop the passes.
No, he was wide open.
He dropped two passes.
Hit his hands.
So it was a great decision to go. And I'm glad Amon-Ra St. Brown said that. I'm glad he said that on the receiver, Doc, saying that that's what we do. We go for it on fourth down. We got our coaches back. That's what we do. That's their philosophy. And they called the fourth down plays. And quite frankly, Reynolds dropped the pass. He dropped it. He dropped the pass.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to slow down to fit into the parking spot. I agree if you have a philosophy in life, but there is a time and place where it just maybe doesn't fit. You know, the triangle doesn't go into the circle hole. That's all.
Yeah, I hear you. But Reynolds did drop the key third down.
Oh, Reynolds had a horrible game.
So I, you know.
Brooks Conrad hit him up and said he had a bad game.
But their field goal kicker, though, I think his longest that year was 47 yards. So it wasn't like it was going to be a chip shot field goal. Their kicker was erratic. Very erratic. And so I had no problem with them going for it on fourth down. The guy dropped the pass. It was a great fourth down call. He dropped the pass. You get a first and 10 up 24-10, and they were averaging 7 yards a carry. That game was over. Dan Campbell's going for the kill right there. So it's hard to hate on the Detroit Lions, but Viking fans are miserable. I mean, you got the Timberwolves. Twins haven't won since 91.
We brought up the 91 team. The boss was in Minnesota when that team won. Can you name any of the players on that 91 Twinkies team?
Yeah, Ken Herbeck, Kerry Puckett.
Yep.
I want to say Gary Gaetti was on that team.
I don't think Gaetti was on that team.
No. Chuck Knobloch was on that team.
Yes, he was.
Jack Morris pitched game 7, went 10 innings in that game. Who else was on that team? Who's the third baseman on that team?
Do you remember a pitcher by the name of Scott Erickson?
I do remember Scott Erickson.
Remember him?
Scott Erickson was in for a long. Was he on that team?
Pagliarulo was the third base.
Yeah.
Who's the outfield outside of Kirby Puckett?
All right, we got Shane Mack. Shane Mack in right field. Mm-hmm. Not Shane O'Mack. Shout out Money, Money, Money. And then center field, Kirby Puckett. Left field, Dan Gladden.
Dan Gladden. That's what I was thinking of, Dan Gladden. I thought he played third base, but Dan Gladden was a good player.
That Twins team was a fun team.
Oh, they won in 87. They beat the Cardinals, and then they beat the Braves in 91. And that was when the Braves had Steve Avery, who I thought was going to be better than Smoltz and Gladden.
They all thought he was going to be better.
Steve Avery was dynamic in that postseason run. And so the Twins won nothing. They won game 7, and Jack Morris pitched all 10 innings. And that was after game 6, in which Kirby Puckett had it when they had the plexiglass in the Metrodome. They had the plexiglass. Kirby Puckett still went off the plexiglass.
126 pitches.
Yep.
That's actually not as much as I thought it was going to be. That's incredible. 126.
Wow.
8 strikeouts.
Dealing.
2 walks.
Dealing. And then Kirby Puckett hits the home run, and Jack Buck on the call for CBS Sports. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, this World Series is awesome. That was great. 91 World Series is awesome. 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 Kirby Puckett, man. Poor guy. Dennis Martinez hits him. Ruined his career. He passed away a few years. Like, one of the first books I read in elementary school was the Kirby Puckett book.
Really?
Yeah. Teacher, because she was like, I need you to read, and I need you to understand what you're reading. I know you could read, but you need to understand it. And so just give me all these books. And then she got it. She was like, how about we just read some sports books? Yeah. I got some autobiographies for you. Yeah. So it was Kirby Puckett. And I was like, can you name this about the chapter one? And I was like, yeah, Kirby Puckett's from here. Da, 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 da. And they figured out the trick. They got me.
Kirby was a burly boy.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
But you think about those all-star teams, like the Instagram accounts come up.
Oh, I love them.
And they show the AL and NL starting lineups. And Kirby Puckett's like in all those lineups. It's like Bo Jack. Bo Jack's on the 30 for 30, he goes, man, the American League, we were stacked.
They were.
He was like Jose Canseco, Kirby Puckett. And they're like tipping the hats. They're like, damn, they're stacked.
Team was loaded.
Loaded. Loaded, loaded, loaded. So, yeah, Minnesota fans. You could be a Minnesota Viking fan. But you know what? It's not easy being a Niner fan these days.
We've got a little Buffalo Bill in us in the last 20 years.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I mean, at least they got blown out by the Washington team, and then Dallas blew them out. I mean, the New York Giants one was close.
The last one against the Cowboys, I believe they were up 13-6 at the half. They ended up losing 30-13, Buffalo.
I mean, Lett trying to celebrate. I mean,
they knew it, too. They were so tight. They knew it in that last game. Each Super Bowl that they hit to. They're actually up 14-7 at the Rose Bowl against the Cowboys. True story. They're up 14-7 and Jim Kelly got hurt. And then Dallas just 52-17. And I remember that Super Bowl. It was like the Niners have the record for most points in the Super Bowl with 55.
And we didn't want that.
And I was like, please. And Don Beebe helped us all. Yeah, was it Don Beebe or Steve Tasker?
Stripping Leon Lett.
Just stripping Leon Lett at the goal line. Yeah. Thank God.
Well, is it Don Beebe or it's Tasker? I think it was Don Beebe.
Was it Steve Tasker or Don Beebe?
I think it was Don Beebe.
Marquez and Don Beebe because Monday Night Football.
I know, Green Bay Packers.
Marquez Pope touched him on the knee. He got up and scored a touchdown. I was like, yeah, he was a touch. 70 yards. And they went in overtime.
Yeah.
Chris Dolman was a guy, right, who apparently didn't touch him. Or was it Marquez Pope?
Chris Dolman, by the way, Palma High School legend.
There not Chris Dolman. Dolman. No, I'm defensive end. I'm thinking of Chris Dishman. The corner from the Houston Oilers.
Chris Dolman, I'm sorry, I should say.
Yeah, my bad. I got that mixed up. Cleveland Indians haven't won a World Series since 1948. Could be an Indian.
Best team in baseball Guardians. Right now.
I believe in Stephen Vogt.
Did they make a big, like, you've been on this before anyone. Stephen Vogt, did the Giants make a huge mistake not hiring him? Or is it just that Cleveland's just a better run organization?
I think it was a little bit of both, but my thing for Stephen Vogt or Will Venable or any fresh face, we don't need a retread. Like, like the Giants, Dusty Baker, great innovative hire, never been a manager before.
Yeah.
Promote him. Cool. Something fresh. Then you go to Felipe Alou, and I remember Alou, he was good. They went wire to wire, but I was thinking to myself, boy, Alou, okay, whatever.
They went kind of old.
And then Bochy. Bochy was kind of, I was like, boy, Bochy, really? We're going to go Bochy? Now, Bochy won us over. But you want us all over, but I was not excited.
Yeah.
Remember even talking to Pop on the afternoon delight. It was like, we all weren't fans of Bochy. Like, did he want us over? But it felt like this hire after Gabe Kapler, you needed something fresh and new. And they went Bomel. Now, I get Bomel's been a manager the year before, but we had an up close and personal view of him in Oakland, California with the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how those wild card games went. And then we saw how the San Diego situation went. And it was like, that's our big hire, Bomel. It just felt stale.
Can I throw a name at you that I think we should... I'm dead serious on this. And I don't know if he has any interest. I don't even know if he'd be any good. But somebody that I think of that I think the Giants fans would instantly... What about... Because like the trend now is you get a young guy who just finished playing, right? A younger guy relative to the age group. Or you get some old grizzled guy who's been in your system for 50 years, right? Like the Atlanta manager, for example. You think Brandon Crawford has any interest in managing?
It's interesting.
If anybody knows the Giants way, clearly is addicted to the travel of baseball. And I know he has a bunch of kids and he wants to raise his family. I'm not going to speak for him. And I just wonder, a guy like that coming back to this organization, he would be immediately accepted by the organization in terms of the fan base. And it would buy you some time, too, because he's a rook. You know what I mean? In terms of coaching.
Yeah, I just think about the personality, and I think he's quiet. He might be too quiet.
But he is a flair guy to a degree in terms of, like, he's going to accept dudes and how they play.
He's got
flair. I'm throwing names out there.
You know, I like the name. You know what name I like a little better?
Hmm.
Buster Posey.
Yeah, I think he's just...
I don't think he's going to manage.
Yeah.
But boy, I think Buster Posey, the mind and the philosophy and the respect he commands. Now, Crawford would command respect. You're right about that. He would get people fired up.
I just think he has instant credibility.
But I just don't know. Is he outspoken? Like, who is he as a person? He just seems very, very quiet.
DJ Craw is like a thing in the locker room, or was for the clubhouse. So I believe he understands how to vibe with young guys. I don't know. I think he's clearly a guy that everyone respects and likes.
No, I'm here for anything new.
I think they need to think outside the box. And I think if you go like the Matt Williams generation, that's almost too many generations removed from this modern player.
Nah, no doubt. I think Buster Posey gets you the most cachet. I think Buster Posey, and look, I don't know if he wants to manage. I don't know if Crawford wants to manage. Knows? Who the hell knows?
We're throwing darts
here. But I'm thinking just in terms of getting this fan base back, getting this fan base excited again. You get a three-time World Series catcher who's going to go into the Hall of Fame one day, and Buster Posey, now we're cooking with hot grease.
Well, and I'll give you another name. We'll see what ends up happening. And I know everyone in the country, I'm going to say this name, and people are going to say, he can't win with that team. I love Aaron Boone. And if Aaron Boone got fired from the Yankees, I'd be all over him.
Yeah, I would too.
I love Aaron Boone. I think he fits. I think he's maniacally obsessed with winning. I think that this guy is being crushed in New York on the daily, and he hasn't had a great pitching staff. I'd be totally in on Aaron Boone.
I know who people won't be in on, but I would be in on. He's a little older, and he may not manage again in his life. If all those guys you can't get Boone, you can't get Crawford, you can't get Posey, I'll call Buck Showalter. I call Buck Showalter. I swear to God.
Did you see where he's working? MLB Network.
Yeah, MLB Network.
He was hitting fungos on set to Harold Reynolds yesterday. It was great.
At least Buck knows how to develop talent.
He'll get you to the playoffs.
He will.
He'll at least get you to the playoffs.
Think about what Buck has done, though. Think about what Buck has done. Develop those core four Yankees.
Yeah.
He had his fingerprints all over those teams.
Texas Rangers.
Hank Blaylock. Mark Teixeira. Who else? Ian Kinsler. Yeah.
The Diamondbacks.
Yeah. The Orioles with Manny Machado and company. They were knocking under. How many playoff appearances did they have? They had a couple playoff in Baltimore. Yeah. Chris Davis is actually a player.
Yeah.
Now, Showalter's old. He's 70. But at least I know that guy knows how to light a fire in somebody's ass, and he knows how to develop talent.
That's a good point.
He will get the best out of you.
Actually, not bad.
Great interview too.
He
can speak to the media.
Well, he's salty.
Yeah, he's he presents it in a way where like it's endearing almost. Yes, too. Yes. It's like, okay, this guy's been around. Like, there's one thing just to be a jerk to the media, but like he could do it in a subtle way where it's just like, okay, that's fine.
I call Buck.
Well, they need credibility in terms of like fan PR, and I think they thought, Melvin, it's gonna hit.
I call Buck.
Melvin doesn't hit.
Now I kind of want Buck now. Now that I think about it, I want Buck.
When you were saying that, I thought for sure you were going to say Dave Roberts when he gets fired after this year.
Oh, you thought I was?
I thought Bonte was going to say Dave Roberts.
Because you know why I'm cool off Dave Roberts? Because I seen Dave in big, high-leverage games do exactly what the front office wants. I need something a little. I need somebody who's going to have a little bit of, like,
I need fire. Some fire.
Yeah, fire in
throw
the belly.
A Gatorade bucket.
Nah, we're down here in the dugout. We're going to do something a little different.
Oh, you're not going to run hard? Get your ass out the game. Get in the clubhouse. I'll talk to you after the game. Like that Luciano stunt? Buck would have pulled his ass right then and there.
100%.
Get in the dugout. Take a shower. You might as well just go to Sacramento right now. I don't even care. We're in the fourth inning. When did he make that play? Third inning? Fourth inning?
I don't know.
Your ass better be in Sacramento by the time this game is over. That's what Buck would have done.
Yeah, Buck would have been. I'll give you that.
You know, Aaron Boone may have done the same thing.
But the problem that I keep coming back to is like, I truly don't want to like run out Bob Melvin. I don't think he's the best in the world. I think his handling of the bullpen has been suspect at best. But I will say this, really hard to make any assessment when this roster has a gazillion guys who I wouldn't want on my team anyway. Now,
I see SFA drummer on YouTube, Shasky, because you're right about that. I'm not trying to run off Bob Melvin either.
Like, how do you make an assessment on somebody when he's picking amongst these options?
Yeah, I know. I agree. But I'm just cleaning the house. I'll tell you one guy who won't work, but I see what your thought process is. Ozzie Guillen. I don't think that flies in this market.
No.
He says some things.
Ozzie lasted a week with the Marlins. He said the one thing
in Miami that you're not allowed to say.
Yeah, he's a firecracker.
You know what's crazy? He tried to defend the quote about, I love Fidel Castro, and there was a longer quote, and he was explaining that people have been trying to assassinate him for 50 years, and the fact that he's still alive, that's why I love him. And it's like, it doesn't matter what the context is. Right. You cannot say, I love Fidel Castro in Miami.
When your ballpark is in the middle of Little Havana.
I know.
I got a question I want to throw at you guys, though. You know, we're talking about
hold on, real
people
quick.
Have been like outrunning communism.
Can you imagine Najee Gill taking questions from Kawakami and Packerly?
Oh, boy, that'd be a tough one.
Did he look at Evan Weback? What do you do? You going to ask a question or what?
And Killian, day one.
I'd grill him. I have a question for you guys.
Alex Pavlovich asks him a slow, drawn-out question.
We love Alex.
Alex has been all fired. His podcast is really good. Giants Talk Podcast on a.
I wish you'd hype mine up Sports that
Bay
was,
Area. Yeah. No, I do. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys all the time. It's the best Giants Talk in the Bay Area.
Logan Webb this week.
Alex Pavlovich is pretty damn good on that podcast,
you
man.
You get Farhan.
I've been stealing a lot of nuggets from him. Go ahead.
But no, so Shassi, you started off this conversation by asking why they didn't go after Steve and vote. I'm kind of curious, I want your guys' thoughts on this. After the Giants pivoted from Bochy to Gabe Kapler, who was a relatively green manager, he only had a couple years in Philadelphia, do you think the Giants kind of maybe overcorrected here and maybe wanted to go with a far more experienced manager rather than go with another first-time manager or someone who's only managed for a couple of years? Just want to throw that thought out there.
I'm convinced that they literally, on all these moves, rosters, and they just close our eyes, let's throw the dart. Bob Melvin. Like, I don't think they have any long-term thoughts. I don't think they know why.
Bob Melvin.
It's whatever sounds good in the moment.
But I do think, to Sam's point, like, had they hired Steven Vogt, like, that might have saved Farhan even more so, because you're going with a new guy.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you probably should have done.
Yep.
Did the ownership, go down and say, hey, no, we need, a big boy in here?
I think there might have been a little bit of an overcorrection here in terms of,
we want
someone who's been in this for a long time, rather than let's take a chance with someone new. Whether you agree with that sentiment or that philosophy or not is another thing. That's just, I'm kind of wondering if that was their thought process.
Well, I had heard from people that I trust that Bob was an ownership hire, and that Bob and Farhan, there's already been some, creative friction.
Yeah. Farhan should have never been allowed to hire a second manager. That's the number one thing right there, which is a joke. But you know what? I want Buck. I don't know, he doesn't have rings. Bochy didn't have rings either. Buck has been close, man. It's hard to win. It's very hard to win. I take Buck right now. Buck could fix this entire program. That guy knows baseball, man.
So we'd have Buster hiring Buck while Brock is quarterbacking the Niners.
I love that. Buster, Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Brock.
with Brandon Pajemski.
Man, Buck don't play that, man.
More bees.
Hey, Buck don't play that. Buck do not. He does not play that, man. I want Buck. I talked myself into one. I want Buck Showalter to be the next manager in the San Francisco Giants.
Man, I'm optimistic.
Hey, you know what, Lovin? Can you book Buck Showalter at some point in next week? MLB Network. Let's get him on the show.
That's a good question.
Let's get him on the show.
I want him.
I want Buck on the show now. Because I was very impressed with that Yankees documentary. Very impressed. And I like what Buck did with the Orioles and the Mets. I do. Buck is good, man. Buck's a good manager. All right. Dave Fleming coming up on the other side on the River Islands Guest Line. Brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey. Yee.
What's that beat from, Spadoni? West Coast?
It's Nicotina.
Is it Nicotina? Yeah, I knew it was a West Coast beat.
I think this is a Crypto Nicotina. Halos and Horns.
Bay Area beat.
Lost Hawks, yeah.
Yeah, no, that beat's fire. Always makes me think of the West Coast. Just riding in the drop top or something with the drop down. Dipping hydraulics. I want Buck. That's what I want. Next manager. I want Buck Showalter. 510 says on the Xfinity Mobile text line, no one ever blames the players. Well, what about the guy who brought the players in? Should we blame him?
Did you see the little article that Spadoni sent over in the group thread?
Which article?
Well, basically, baseball. It's an ESPN article from today. I was listening to Scherzer and Verlander actually discuss this a couple of weeks ago. It was made the rounds. But they're looking to implementing some form of a rule. It's a suggestion in baseball where the starter would have to go a six innings, right? Unless they got hurt, unless they gave up four runs, or unless they topped 100 pitches. You can't remove your starter. Now, I had seen one that Verlander and Scherzer were discussing where they said, if you take the starter out before the sixth inning, you lose the DH for the game.
Wow.
And I like that one, too. So the second you take the starter out, you start taking out the DH.
Mm.
So what they're trying to do is a couple of things. Yeah, number one is incentivize guys for not throwing max so they could last long enough. Incentivize guys to go deeper in games and try to not have max effort dudes going four innings and starter, the openers and things like that.
Dave. We got Dave right now on the River Islands guest line.
I find it interesting. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's foolproof.
I'm just looking through it right now. I'm looking here, 2014, starting pitchers averaged just under six innings per start in 2014. This season, that figure stands at 5.25 innings, and it's down to 4.3 in AAA. So they're not getting to work, which is why we see, Kyle Harrison struggle to get through five and six because he wasn't extended there in AAA. 888-957-9570, your thoughts on that, folks? Dave Fleming joining us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Why don't you ask Dave, Shasky?
Hey, Dave, did you see this article? Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a suggestion about making starters go six innings. Obviously, you can get removed if you give up more than four runs, if you throw 100 pitches before the six-inning limit, or if you're injured. It's obviously trying to make people not throw, max effort for only two or three innings. It's trying to incentivize guys going deeper into games. I'd also seen things floated out where the starter, once he's removed from the game, you lose the DH. Like, I like the idea of at least looking at this.
Where I have not read, where did you see this
ESPN article today?
Yeah, I guess Spadoni just sent it to us. I'm just looking through it, where basically you look at the innings, Flynn, from starters. In 2014, starters averaged just shy of six innings pitch per start. It's down to 5.25 this season, and in AAA, they're not even going five innings as starters in AAA right now. The numbers are down all across the board.
Yeah, and lots of what you guys are talking about there's lots of issues. I do agree with the general premise that baseball's pitchers are...
Flynn, we're going to put you on hold just a second. Your line's choppy a bit here. We're going to put you on hold just a second here and fix your line here. This is interesting. Now, guy has to throw 100 pitches. Wait, let me see. The objective is to prioritize starting pitching, not to leave a struggling starter in to reach innings threshold while the ERA skyrockets or at the risk of injury. So the league's conversations have included carve-outs, instances when pitchers would not have to pitch the required six innings. Some instances when a starter would be allowed to leave early might include throwing 100 pitches, giving up four or more runs, or if he gets injured. Outside of those exceptions, pitchers would have to mandate would have a mandate to make it through at least six innings that would force teams to rethink their pitching staffs to meet the new standards. Very intriguing.
I think this also would go into, there's a conditioning element, especially with the pitch clock, and you would want guys like, hey, like if you know that you had to go six or whatever instead of a couple of innings, like Jordan Hicks learned, like maybe I don't throw 100 every single pitch, and I taper down a little, and I throw 80%, and I'm more, like I do believe the art of, you know, pitching to contact, the art of taking a little off the velo and really painting the corners and mixing up speeds and where you're throwing in terms of height and angle and left, right, inside, outside. Like all of that is getting lost in the max velo era. There are still excellent players that can paint. We saw the game the other night between Snell and Sale. That was brilliant. But I don't know. I find this to be just interesting. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jack.
I think we got you back.
What'd you think? What do you think of this?
Well, I agree with what I was starting to say was the general premise of what is the best version of baseball? What's the most fun, enjoyable version of the sport to watch? And I believe that version is one where starting pitchers are featured prominently. You know, the biggest disadvantage with baseball is that our stars, even Aaron Judge, Barry Bonds, they come up four times a game, right? Like in hoops, Steph Curry's touching the ball every single time. So just from a pure entertainment standpoint, our stars in our sport don't get to be as involved as the quarterback in football, the star scorer in the NBA, whatever. And the only similarity is to a quarterback, to a Curry, is the starting pitcher. And the game is really fun when you've got, but the game you referenced from the other night, Snell versus Sale, was just a super fun, intriguing game to watch because of those two guys. And so the general premise of how do we make teams, almost force teams, even if it's against their will, prioritize starting pitching, I like that premise. And if next time you guys have Buster Posey on, I think Buster's number one issue in the game today, big picture, is this issue. Like, he really is focused on how do we make starting pitching a bigger part of baseball again, like it was for most of the history of the game.
Yeah, we were just talking about Game 7 of the 91 World Series with Jack Morris with all 10 innings and threw 126 pitches. You'll never see that in today's day and age. And, you know, last night, unfortunately, we didn't see Robbie Ray go more than an inning. And he just didn't have it last night. And that was unfortunate. In the must-win game, as we look at the calendar here moving forward, starting August 23rd, things ramp up for the Giants, as I believe they had the seventh toughest schedule the rest of the way. This is Robbie Ray, just unfortunate last night. It's tough to ask for him to be a Cy Young Award winner right away after missing all the time he's had from the Tommy John surgery. But boy, right away, you're thinking, boy, 5-0. This is the last thing you need for the Giants as they struggle to hit with runners in scoring position, Flem.
Yeah, I think last night was, for me, a lot easier to dump and just get over. Like, he didn't have it, and they took advantage with one swing. They had one hit. One hit. And you're down 5-0 and sort of punched in the gut. The takeaway for me was the two nights prior. You got to win those two games. They had every chance to win both those games. And I know Sale was awesome, but your guy was awesome too. And when you're the home team in those late game extra inning situations, you have a big advantage. And to for two nights in a row not to be able to score that placed runner, you know, you could look back, we could end up looking back and saying those are the two nights that really cost the Giants their chance. Those were the ones that were more upsetting to me than the one last night. Last night was frustrating and no fun to watch, But that kind of stuff does tend to happen with a guy coming back from surgery.
I'm not going to lie, Flem. I'll stick it to you, crew, Kype, and everything. Said, boy, you guys deserve a day off on Friday. You guys in that poop after those extra 80 games. And then last night, I was telling Shask earlier today, well, you guys need a shot ahead to see it, man. Just take the day off and just relax and get away from this stuff, man. This is heart-wrenching stuff right now.
It is. And you know what? Everything is fraught right now with the Giants. And I think it's almost part of the issue with this franchise at this particular moment. It's like everybody is just so desperate to find the magic solution and like what. And so every day becomes like a referendum on the whole organization's philosophy on how they're doing stuff and how they're developing and how they're building a team and how they're playing in games and how they're coaching. And man, that's a hard way to survive. You know, at some point, this whole group has to hit a comfort zone, a level where it's like, we're just going out there, we're competing, we've got our team, we're sticking to what we believe in, and that's what we're doing. And it is emotionally draining. And that's, you know, that like, look, that's part of the disadvantage of digging yourself a huge hole, where you start off the year and you don't play the way you wanted to. And then you're just playing catch up. And so every game, there's this pressure and buildup on every single game. Baseball's a sport where a game like last night, even the best teams have games like that. But it's so much harder to just get over it when you're in the position the Giants are in. It's not, you know, they're not out of it. It's not over. But I think you're clearly seeing a toll of all of these games piling up one after another on this team. And those pressure. You know, the runners in scoring position, the easiest explanation is because what's different, you know, like the Giants have hitters who are capable, and the easiest explanation is they're just putting a ton of pressure on themselves in those spots.
Yeah, I mean, just the other night, and I don't want to get all crazy back and forth on this, but like first and second, and Conforto grounds into the double play, and then you go into that 10th inning, and Schmidt's at second, the ghost runner, and Fitzgerald, he's just had amazing at-bats. Like, I understand why you'd want to bunt there. I just don't want to bunt that guy in that situation. And I don't know if Bob was caping up for him because he did it on his own, but I just hated that whole sequence. I'm like, that's the one guy who is swinging the bat really well right now, even though his runners in scoring position data isn't the greatest. It's like he walked into one already and hit one over the wall. It's like, ugh. And then he bunts in it, and I don't know, there's an interference call, and Schmidt's going to get thrown out of third anyway. Like, that whole sequence, like, was just, it was frustrating to watch. I don't know. Yeah, it was driving me crazy.
It was. I wouldn't have bunted him. That's me. But I can understand, you know, Iglesias is like the unknown guy. He is so good. I do understand the sentiment, the sort of in the back of your brain, especially after watching what he did the night before. I do understand the idea of, we got to score that one run and live to see another inning without him in there. And anybody else but him, we got a better shot. And so I think that's, you know, there, that at least is some justification. You got to, and this, I'm not criticizing anybody specifically, but you got to emphasize to your player, dude, this is not a sacrifice. You have to, with his skill set, you got to bunt and try to beat it out. And it just wasn't the right type of bunt. You got, if you're going to ask him to bunt with his speed, he's a top five sprint speed guy in the game right now. And you got to make sure he knows this is a bunt where you're pushing it or pulling it down the third baseline to try to beat it out for a hit, where the worst case scenario is it's a sacrifice and you get the guy over. But we got a chance to get you on. If he beats it out for a hit and Schmidt is at third, and then Fitzgerald gets the full green light to go, because you figure with the tying run at third, they're not throwing down with a guy as fast as him. Now you're cooking. Like, and that's, you know, look, why is that so frustrating? Because that is the difference. That one play, you execute that one play, and I think you win the game, and they didn't do it.
I know. I don't. I love that little sequence there. Fitzgerald's a good example of somebody who, you know, he rose the ranks, but he never was highly touted and has definitely outperformed any expectations that I had. Ramos came up, came down, and has been a revelation this year. So I don't want to say that it's the end of the all for Luciano. He's still very young. I get all that. But I am frustrated. It's like 5 years of hype from prospect rankings and all this stuff that's independent of the Giants. He doesn't have a position. His at-bats didn't look great. I get why they sent him down, but I'm not disappointed that they sent him down. I'm more disappointed that he's not driving the ball and he doesn't have a position. And it's like, we're already here. And I don't see an optimistic future for the young man. And so I'm really frustrated on just the whole Luciano development. Where does he go from here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a big, big question for this organization, because I think you're right on a lot of that stuff. And you can't have a 22-year-old be a DH. Like, that just, like, that it limits his future so much. And whether there's blame to be assigned for waiting this long to decide that he's not a shortstop, or whether, you know, I think the optimistic view is that, hey, look, the guy's always been a shortstop. Every game he played as a from the time he was 4 years old till the time 2 months ago was he was a shortstop. He's a developing player. We're giving him a chance in his comfort zone to stay there to let the bat develop. I mean, that's the positive outlook, and I don't totally disagree with that. But now if you've decided he isn't a shortstop, all over again, because I don't think the second base experiment was going all that well down there. Maybe that's where he sticks. Maybe he's a corner outfielder, but that's going to be an off-season project. Like, so now you're going to go down to Scottsdale in October and start, you know, repping him out in left field or whatever. And it's like, man, it's a lot of setbacks for a guy who you were hoping by now would be a big impact guy for this franchise. And he still has hitting ability. He does. He's got incredible bat speed and raw power. He's got a real good understanding of the strike zone. There is material there to work with. You got to fight the urge as an organization to give up on the guy and just tell yourself the guy's got talent. The guy's got talent. Don't give up on him. Keep working with him. You know, Ramos would be a great example of somebody who the talent is there. We got to be stubborn about this and see if we can unlock that talent, because he's good enough to be a middle of the order type hitter. That's the kind of raw ability he's got.
Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Going into last night, Flem, and this is, hey, maybe you could answer this question because I don't understand it. Giants were 0-10 night against Charlie Bort with runners in scoring position since July 30th, before last night, when they had an opportunity down in the bottom of the third, one out, bases loaded, could get back into the baseball game, but back-to-back strikeouts there, and the rally's over, and the Braves go on to win 13-2. But since July 30th, entering last night, they were batting 154 with runners in scoring position, 19 for 123. Now, I don't know if it's approaches. I don't know if it's just bad at-bats or pitchers blowing them away. What do you attribute that to? Because it's been a problem for most of the second half of the season, Flem. Hitting with runners in scoring position. Gosh, Lee, what is going on here?
They're the worst. I mean, they're the worst or second worst over the last month, and it's a miracle they've gotten into the position they have. And it's not just the batting average, it's zero power.
Yep.
Like, they've hit for no power in those runners. Like, one time, run into one in one of those at-bats and just crush one and put the game out of reach. You know, nowadays it's like begging for just a bleeder through the right side to get somebody home. I don't know how else to explain it other than to say this is a team that's putting a ton of pressure on themselves, and for whatever reason they haven't been able to unlock that, like get rid of that feeling. Because you know, their overall offensive numbers, their run scoring numbers, they are
right
middle of the pack or maybe even a little better. Saw this last road trip. They hit 15 home runs in 7 games on the last road trip. It's not like they don't have some offensive ability and have shown that. It's just those at-bats, the whole thing changes. And it just, to me, the only explanation is that they're putting too much pressure on themselves. And that's all. So how do you tell a guy, don't put pressure? Like, what do you do about that? Like, I don't know what the solution for that is other than somebody's got to break through and get one of those big hits or a few of those big hits and kind of alleviate the pressure for everybody.
You know, I was going to ask you next about Flem, about Birdsong and Harrison, about any concern there. We could say that for next week, but we do have the Bay Bridge Series coming up Saturday and Sunday. Friday, day off. Hopefully you enjoy it. You and the crew, you enjoy it with the family or whatnot. Do we got to go to Oakland one last time at the Coliseum for a little Giants and A's. Favorite memories of the Bay Bridge Series? Are you going to be a little sad about it, knowing that, man, this is the last time I'm going to be in this booth? Although, obviously, the Coliseum needs a renovation. It's not the best booth in the world, but it is the last Bay Bridge Series. That is happening. The reality is here, Flem, that the A's will no longer be playing in Oakland next season.
Yeah, well, let's get this out of the way first. There will be zero sentimentality about the booth. I will not miss the booth. The booth or the Coliseum, there will be no tears shed.
No doubt.
None. But I will definitely be sentimental about the fact that A's, Giants, Oakland, San Francisco will be gone. Like, we have a cool thing. Not many places have what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for A's fans. I love A's fans. I do. And, you know, sometimes in this Giants A's rivalry, they could be very petty. And I didn't always agree with the way the A's sort of handled the rivalry, but I love A's fans, and they're passionate and emotional, and they love their team, and they're proud of their community. And it sucks what's happened to them, and it absolutely sucks what's happened to that franchise as a whole. And so I will be sentimental about that part of it, but missing the Coliseum, no. I will not miss the Coliseum. They're dragging me over there to do those two games.
I hope a possum comes says hello to you, Flem, this weekend. That's car before you. Maybe there's a possum waiting on you there this weekend.
Should I bring some treats as a final going away gift or something?
You might need to, or some spray.
Oh, God, yeah.
What's going on with Pat Bailey? I mean, the guy was really good this year. All the way through June, and then it feels like July, he hit a wall, and August, the bottom has fallen out. He's got like four extra base hits in the last, I don't know, 65 days or so. I mean, 3 for 46 currently in the month of August. His defense is still there. You know, he threw a guy out the other day. It's just, offensively, he just doesn't look right. And I know he put on a lot of weight in the offseason to be prepared to not wear down. And I know the position, this did this to Buster. He wore down as the season went on, but not this bad. What's going on with Bailey?
Yeah, it's a hard question. I wish I had a better answer for you, and it's one they have to solve. Patrick Bailey's one of the most important players for this team going forward, like high on the list of most important players. And so they have to figure out whether this is just a weird coincidence that it's happening 2 years in a row. Doesn't seem like it's a coincidence. The good news is, and I think this is actually really good news, if you want to feel good about Bailey, the good news is that the defense, as you said, last year the defense really fell off, and it was like the whole thing came apart in the last month. He was the throws were, I don't know how many errors he made in September last year, but a lot. You know, he's chucking it into, his defense has been outstanding here. So to me, that's a really positive sign that some of that work that he's done to last the season a little longer is paying off. My best, this is just purely like amateur analysis, I do think that the switch hitting thing for him is really complicated. And when you're a catcher and you're in the middle of a season and you're grinding out day-to-day game planning with your pitchers and trade deadline, new guys come up, you're learning new guys, Blake Snell, you're learning him, Robbie Ray, you're trying to figure out how to work with him, and your swing gets a little out of whack and you've got two swings that are totally different. That is a lot. And I do believe that the burden of being a catcher, being the leader of the whole pitching staff, and managing two swings is very complicated for him. And I think the right-handed swing has been a mess, and his left-handed swing has suffered because of it. I think, you know, he's always going to be a stronger hitter batting left-handed. And, you know, it might be that the Giants are going to have to try their best to manage that workload a little bit better next year in terms of whether it's not exposing him to as many left-handed pitchers. The problem is you're seeing it as well as we are. Like, now teams are just attacking him with lefties. Mm-hmm. Like, if his spot is coming up in the later innings, a lefty's coming in. And I think that's got him a little off kilter. He's got a great attitude. I talked to him the other day. He's all in on, you know, leading the pitching staff. I think there's a lot of positives in the midst of this big slump, but they got to do their best to try to help him avoid something like this in the future. His swings have been better the last few days. I think he's coming out of it. I think you'll see more production from him from here till the end of the year, but it's really hard to survive a month where you get a couple hits. And that's like, you know, he was 1 for 42 or whatever he was. Yeah, like, was I don't care how good you are on defense. It's hard to help your team when that's the case.
He's 1 for 42. Casey Schmidt, 1 for 27. Wisely, 3 for his last 21. It's just somebody get a hit, a big hit. And you know what? It doesn't get easier today. Max Fried's on the mound for the Braves. So China's got to salvage one in this series. It gets another tough pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. So, Flynn, enjoy your day off tomorrow. Hopefully they get a win today. Send you off. Get some nice little wine in tomorrow. Then get ready for the Battle of the Bay for the last time between the Giants and the A's. Flynn, thanks for the time as always, brother.
Just be thinking of me here in a few hours. I'm before the game today. I'm taking my girls. They're going to college today. So.
Oh wait, you got the day off? Oh,
congratulations,
no,
Dave.
No, I'm gonna do the game. I'm my wife is taking them. I'm taking them to the airport, but it's a big day in the Fleming household.
Who's it hit harder? Is it hit you or your wife harder?
Well, it's hit her harder, but it hit me this morning pretty good when I woke up. So I'm going to make some pancakes for everybody before we go to the airport.
Look at you. Look at that, Flynn.
All right, now I have to ask, maple or blueberry?
We do a mix of plain. I like the blueberry, but I'm the only one, so I probably won't make any of those this time. And the kids still, even though they're going to college, they still want me to throw some chocolate chips in there.
I love it. Oh, man, dad. The tears are going to be flowing. I dropped my daughter off to Montessori school. I was getting choked up. I can't imagine college, opposite coast. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Flip.
Clean it up, Bonte. Yeah. You can't cry at Montessori.
I know. I can't. I'm a big softy, man.
Like
I'm a big softy.
Hardened veteran giving you advice over here.
We'll be thinking about you, man.
Oh man!
Congratulations, though. That's a great moment
seriously.
For you and the family and your wife. Though. That's an awesome
great
moment.
Parenting.
I'm excited for them. They're going to have a great time.
Absolutely, man. Well, we'll be listening today, Flynn. Have a good call.
Yep. See you, buddy.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Bye.
All right,
yep.
Dave Fleming here on the River Islands Guest Line, man. That's awesome, man. Jumping the kids off to college, man. I do need to clean it up. I get emotional all the time.
You're talking to the guy that cries all over the place.
Dude, I mean, when I pick up baby Chance from gym camp, she sprints to me, hugs me tight, starts kissing me on the cheek. I'm like, I don't want these days in. So last night, for example, Mama was out again. She's getting her hair done. So, she, you know, we were asleep by the time she came home. So, you know, daddy daycare. And baby Chaz, like, came out the room. I left the nightlight on in her room. Yeah. She's like, Papa, you forgot to turn off the light. I'm trying to sleep. So I turn off the nightlight. I come back in. Then I'm cleaning one of my pair of Jordans, the Carmines, clean them up, scrubbing them. It's like, all right, I'm going to get to sleep early. Giants are getting smoked. And she comes back in the room. She's like, Papa, I can't sleep. I'm like, why? It's too dark. I'm like, what do you mean? It's always dark. That's how we get the best sleep. I don't want to sleep by myself. And I was like, Mama's not here. I said, you know what?
Come into bed.
I said, get in the middle there. Oh, get your pillow ready to roll.
Best. Yeah, I know. Benny at 3 a.m, kid you not, just staring at me in my room. I dropped the OF. I was like, what the? I was like freaked out. Yeah. He's like, Dad, I was calling for you. You didn't come. I was just like, I'm sorry. I didn't. He's just staring at me. I was like, just get in bed. You can get in. I'll just go on the couch for the next like 40 minutes.
Or whatever. Get used to it, kid. I'm going to let you down a lot over the next 10 years.
Like, Dad, what are you doing? I was like, you're in TK now, all right, dude? You got to sleep by yourself.
Right, no.
You got a man up. You got a man up, brother.
The toddler bed is totally backfired on Anna and I. Oh, man, she's ready for a toddler bed. She's ready for a bed. No more crib. We could have run out the crib for another year. Because baby Chaz never jumped out the crib. She's a daredevil, but really? When it comes to that, she just stayed in the crib. Yeah.
Oh, dude, my little guy, 9 months old, cannot walk at all. Can't even, I mean, he's barely living. He is kicking every night, kicking and kicking and kicking. And then both legs go through the like holes of the what is it called? Yeah. The crib. And he's trying to pull himself up every night. He's going to be climbing out of that thing in the next couple weeks.
No doubt. But then like Anna, she came home and it's like, oh, so both of you guys are in the bed. I was like, you know me, I'm a big softy. I was like, baby, just get in the bed. So I had the Giants game on. She goes, Papa, turn it off. It's trying to go to bed. I said, hold on. I just got to watch the final outs.
Yes, he's going to pitch, hon. Just hold up.
Watch the passing. And I was kind of infuriated about it. And she was like, Papa, put your phone down. It's trying to go to bed. I was like, you're right. Sleep mask on. We're knocked out. And that was that. And she slept in the bed all night. Even though she fell off the bed, apparently, last night. And
oh.
There's one. So I don't know how I do this. In the middle of the night, I could sense her, like, at my feet or something like that. And I just get up and I grab her and I bring her to the... You do that same thing?
It's like a sixth sense, right? Almost. You have, you just feel, yeah, the kids in the room. Yeah.
It's dad reflex,
it
right?
Is. No, yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just me. Apparently, it's a thing.
I also get kicked in the head all the time from Norris.
Oh, that happens all the time. I'm immune to that.
Backhanded, everything.
I'm immune to that. Feet all in my face. Getting kicked in the, you know what. It's just, it's, you know... It is what it is.
Did that hurt your soul when he said clean it up to you?
No, that's fine. I love when Flem talks trash. That's why I love Fleming. Because we could bring that
clean
out.
Clean it up, Auntie.
Clean it up, Auntie. I love that. Clean it up. I love
such
that.
Such a great drop.
I love when Flem claps back like that. I love it.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Clean it up, Auntie.
That's nonsense.
It's so like good.
It. I love it. I could do a sugarcoat job.
Pancakes or waffles? I'm forcing you to choose.
Waffles.
I'm a waffle guy too. Throw I like the way the syrup sits in the little squares.
Yeah.
And then the butter. Like, I want it. I want the butter to not be fully, you know, I want it like oozing.
Soft and fluffy. Yeah.
Like, I want it oozing. Yep. I don't want it to be evaporated.
Get a little char on the waffle too. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I think peanut butter on waffles are very underrated. Throw some bananas on it too. I'm not mad at that. Pancakes, I've never been the biggest pancake guy.
Well, even though most waffles and pancakes are actually the same ingredients starting with, the Bisquick, right? And most.
The batter is usually the same, yeah.
Right. Yes, exactly. But it's how you prepare them. Yeah, I'm more waffle. No. But we don't have a waffle machine at the house.
I also grew up on Eggo waffles.
That's what we did.
Eggo waffles my entire childhood.
Yeah.
Eggos.
And then when you were really lazy, you microwaved them. And then they're just
That's next level, lazy. That's next level, lazy. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to let the microwave do the work. That's next level, lazy.
I'm a blueberry syrup guy. Yeah. Gotta have my...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.